Hello, darling Rage Nation, and welcome back to the show. Today we are continuing our Rad as Fuck Women series with the amazing Jasmine Cabrera. Jasmine is a kombucha-loving women's health coach and personal trainer. She teaches a lot about gut health and about how to take care of your body in more ways than just working out. She's seriously fantastic. I loved talking to her. I've known her for a little while, and I can't wait to introduce her to you guys. So without further ado, here is Jasmine.
Can you hear me? I can't hear you, so I don't know if you have headphones plugged in or something. Make sure you're not muted.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi.
Oh, now I can hear you. How's it going, Jasmine? It's been a minute.
Oh, my goodness. There has been so many changes in that long minute.
For both of us. Yeah, seriously.
Oh, my goodness. But they've been either very good or learning moments or, you know, just life. So I'm not complaining about any of it. I'm not.
No, absolutely not. That's life.
Oh, my goodness. How are you, though?
I'm so good. I'm, like, really excited to do this talk. I was like, yeah, this is probably going to end up being a longer interview, and I'll give myself time for that, because it's Jasmine, and we talk forever.
I know. So the thing is, having a three-month-old makes me be very efficient in what I have to do and say, though. I'm learning, like, oh, yeah, you don't lay on your butt and scroll through Instagram when he's sleeping. You get on your mama duties and do the business thing while he's down.
Yes, girl. Oh, my gosh. So, you know what? We're already, like, talking to each other. I'm just going to, like, start from now. So,
okay. All right.
So, Jasmine, say hi to the people.
Hey, people. What's up? How are you guys? I'm so happy to be here on Darling Rage Nation. I am Jasmine Cabrera. And, your host is the best, if you didn't know that already.
You're the sweetest. Thank you so much. So tell the people about what you do, Jasmine.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I'll just keep it to the hats that are relevant. So I am a certified health coach and personal trainer, specifically working online with ladies who are running their own things solo, may or may not have a kid in the picture or a family. And I specialize in gut health, you know, like teaching you how to drop diets by paying attention to your gut health and working to help you better move your body and find time for strength in your day-to-day life. That's pretty much what I do in a nutshell.
Heck yes. And you know what? I have, for those of you who don't know, that that explanation of what you do has gotten so much more concise since the last time I talked to you.
I'm working. I'm doing good.
It's awesome. So, I mean, while we're talking about it, how has being a mom affected you as a businesswoman? I'm dying to know because we haven't talked since you've become one.
This is true. Let's see. In the most standout way, I guess it's affected me in the sense of my purpose. Like before, it was just like, oh, I think this sounds cool. Oh, yeah, I would like to do that. But now I have more of a, I'm looking at the meaning of what I do. And I'm like, wow, like there are people who, or there are women specifically who need the knowledge that I'm trying to give, because a lot of women are suffering either mentally or physically and taking care of their health because they just don't have good resources or someone who's kind of like on the same page as them. So like being a mom has definitely brought me more front and center with just understanding just how vital our health is and how we think and how we feel, you know, like, I don't know if that makes any sense or any, if it's any different than when you're not a mom, like, but to me, it definitely does, because I talk about this a bit in my own circle, but I have had my rodeos with anxiety issues.
Yeah.
And one of the things that spurred a lot of the decisions I made leading up to giving birth and after in my postpartum life, that fourth trimester life, right? It's forever. One of the things that spurred a lot of those decisions was like, okay, I don't want to slip into postpartum like depression or more anxiety than I need to have, because I did have a little bit of anxiety in trimester three, like some cry my eyeballs out days.
Oh my gosh, like all women.
Right? And so I made some what you could call probably crunchy mama decisions because I was like, I'm not trying to deal with it more than I have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's a whole nother level of a woman and her emotions and the things that she has to handle once a baby's in the picture, because the likelihood of things going sour are there. Like people mm-hmm. joke about baby blues, but it's real. And I'm just like, you know, passionate about like talking about that kind of like off record, not trying to like be paid for it or be hired for it, but just like, hey, I empathize with you.
Yeah. Well, and it's a huge deal though. Like, and your health and all of the things that you talk about make such an impact on that. And like as you probably remember, like I had postpartum depression really bad with both mm-hmm. kids, and it was, mm-hmm. I mean, even with all of the health choices I made, it was pretty out of my control, but yeah. I could come up with like coping mechanisms for it and things like that. But like, it's crazy how much your mental health and your gut health are so related.
Yeah. So fun fact about our brain and our gut and how they're connected. Everyone talks about the gut and brain kind of connection in a sense. Well, mm-hmm. a cool thing is the reason why they stay connected is because when we're in our womb developing, in the mom's womb developing, the brain and the gut develop from the same fetal tissue.
What?
Yeah. And so, and they stay that way through the entirety of our lives. And so that's why when I'm telling people, like, look, you have anxiety through the roof, maybe we should reconsider, you know, what you're sticking in your mouth. And people are like, they don't correlate, but they do.
Wow. I'm like blown away by that small little fact. That's insane.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, have you seen crazy like changes in women who have like come to that realization and have started changing like their gut health and like how it impacts their mental health?
Oh my stars. Okay, so because I have this whole client confidentiality thing, I won't use them as example or right. anyone in particular. I'll use myself. How about that?
Perfect. We're talking about your story after all, so it's fine.
Okay, so so about, I think it was like 2014, 2015, forever ago, mm-hmm. When I learned that particular fact that I just gave, I did a little experiment to see, okay, let's see if it helps me. And back then, a lot of so this is the thing, the connecting thing, or the one food that spurs all of the crazy is generally sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yikes.
And so, like, right? And so I was like, okay, let's do an experiment. Let's figure out what's going on with this sugar thing. So back then, a lot of sugar for me might have been like a half pint of ice cream and a root beer, or a piece of pie, or a piece of pie and some other stuff, or, you know, a piece of pie mm-hmm. with a brownie underneath it. Like, that was a lot of sugar for me. Then now it takes a whole lot less to right. get me in a bad space. But what I realized after just a few days of taking down what you call like a food sort of journal, not necessarily talking about macros, mm-hmm. but talking about how do I feel leading up to the meal, during the meal, and after the meal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is that within an hour to as far as 6 hours after having a dose, like a heavier dose of sugar, mm-hmm. I would have extreme irritability and I get angry really easily.
Ooh.
And it was like, once I kind of was aware of that, I realized how obvious it was. I had very little patience, and then I would get kind of like in this antsy mode where it's just like, I don't have enough time to do everything, and I need to do this, and oh, that's bad, and I have to change it, and I have to do, and then I get snappy, and I would like war around the house cleaning up stuff, and I could not calm down. And I'm like, whoa, sugar's doing that? Sugar's making me act like a maniac?
Yeah, I was gonna say that sounds like manic behavior.
It like... does. Oh my goodness. So like when they say things like cocaine is not as addictive as sugar, like sugar is more addictive than cocaine, that proved it to me.
Yeah, holy shit.
Because you know, how many of us is just like, I mean, nowadays I don't deal with this, but how many people have ever craved like a bottle of Coke, or they needed to have chocolate, or right. they definitely had to have a dessert every night before bed, or it was just all the crap was going to hit the fan. Like, mm-hmm. those are true addictions, and it's not just something that's in your head and that you can just like, oh, we'll just eat healthy and break it, blah, 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 blah. No, it goes deeper than that. You know? Right.
Yeah. Well, and it's true that like sugar withdrawal symptoms are real.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause I mean, admittedly, I have a little bit of a sugar addiction. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. and I've noticed like whenever I'm trying to like come off of it, I get really cranky.
Yeah.
You know,
it's rough. It's just like a person who is an alcoholic and they try to come off of it and they start to have like those withdrawal symptoms, like the shakes and irritability yeah. as well and stuff like that. Like that is something that's very true for a food that everyone has access to. And so like being mom, the mom that I am, it makes me think, wow. And think about how often we are encouraged to push sugar like items on our kids. Like we fill them up with bowls of cereal every day and we give them juice boxes and it's all sugar. And then we wonder why they run around acting like crazy kids. Your right. kid probably isn't bad if you took the sugar out.
Right. Like if, and why like ADD has gone through the roof in diagnoses in the past like decade. It's insane.
Yes, it is. It's so insane. You're so right there.
That's crazy. So I want to back up a little bit mm-hmm. because I would like to know more about your personal story and like how you got to the place where you are now in like becoming this holistic health coach and all of that stuff. Tell me more about the Jasmine story.
All right, I'll try to pick out the big rocks then.
It's fine.
All right, so
we're all friends here.
Yeah, that's cool. So believe it or not, I didn't always care about like nutrition and health at all. I've always been athletic. Mm-hmm. During grade school, it was like that was my thing to go, you know, I was on teams from age 8 till 21. I was on some team for some sport. But when I went to college, I thought I was going to do broadcast journalism. I thought I was going to be the next Black Barbara Walters, you know, like that was what I
mean,
was
you totally could, but yeah.
But, oh, just side note, everyone, I am African-American, but,
so, in all seriousness,
you know, but, no, so when I got started with that in undergrad, I learned real quick, this is not for me. I'm going to be gray before I'm 30 if I stay on this track. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up getting into kinesiology as a major. Mm-hmm. And around this time that I started diving into my major, my mom started to experience a lot of health issues circled around non-communicable diseases like type 2 diabetes and high cholesterol and high blood pressure, things that are all related to lifestyle and can affect every person, no matter your age.
Right.
And being the oldest child and protective and responsible daughter that I was at the time, I was like, oh no, there's no reason for you to be sick. None of that, you know?
Yeah.
And before that, you know, I used to experience moments of her wrestling with these illnesses. Like she would fall asleep at a stoplight because her blood sugar was so high. Ooh. And her doctors weren't giving her the tools she needed to change her lifestyle so that she didn't have to deal with that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's scary stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's like take a metformin and eat better. That's all the advice she really got. I'm like, okay, so that's helping how, sir? You just right. put a Band-Aid over a spewing pipe and expected it to chill. No.
So, I just, like, imagined you and your expressions and, like, your body language talking to this doctor, like, no.
So, like, the thing is, at the time that she was dealing with that, though, I was really young. I was, like, 15. But mm-hmm. it had gotten so imagine now you tack on another 4 years, 5 years to that. And yeah. now it's like her body is really showing the wear and tear of that illness, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I became a personal trainer, finished school, and that's when my mom's stuff started to really hit the roof. I'm like, you're a walk-in medicine cabinet. Like, this is too much. Her dosages were through the roof, like 5,000 milligrams of this, 1,000 milligrams of that. I'm like, what? And, right? It's tough. It sounds like something that you expect elderly people to deal with. But my mom was like in her late 30s, early 40s, and that's not old at all at that time, you know?
No.
And so, I started to kind of poke around with what can be done differently for that. And at the time, I didn't have great eating practices, but I was really fit and active. So it kept me looking like I wasn't unhealthy. But mm-hmm. I dealt with anxiety and brain fog and bloating and gas, just to mm-hmm. tell anybody about it.
Right.
So fast forward, I'm like 3 years into my personal training career, and I realize, wow, my clients have a missing link here. They would like get to the certain level and then they hit a wall. Mm-hmm. And it's because I couldn't give them more nutritional advice other than the conventional wisdom that is spewed to each and every American who listens to the radio, watches television, has a phone or TV. Okay.
Right.
You know, or works in an environment with people who only know conventional wisdom when it comes to science and a science of how we eat.
Right.
So that's when I learned about, you know, paleo, primal, Mark's Daily Apple, the primal blueprint. And I was like, oh, this stuff sounds neat. So all I have to do is just stick to eating, you know, high quality meat and fish and veggies and fruit and chill with sugar and don't be too heavy on the starch and I'll be fine. That's not that hard. Mm-hmm. Can't be that bad. So my first experiment back then was I took out bread for a week. Just mm-hmm. bread, because I had a bread problem. I could finish a loaf in 4 days by myself.
Girl, yep.
You know? And I didn't have any mission for it other than to see what would happen.
Right.
And in that 1 week, I lost like 5 pounds. And I was like, I wasn't even trying to lose weight. What happened here? You know? Like,
holy shit.
And all I did was take out bread. So then it got me interested. And so I became, you know, some years again go by. And it's now 2014, let's say. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, I want to move forward with this because I think that I could use this to enhance the services I already give. So I got certified as a primal health coach. Mm-hmm. And with that knowledge, my mom is almost off of all of her medications. She's lost like 30 pounds of body fat effortlessly, like just not having nasty eating habits. You know?
That's amazing.
She still doesn't exercise. She walks around everywhere because she's a caretaker, but
yeah.
She does not exercise, yet she still is like, my pants are falling off me, Jasmine. Like, you know,
it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, right. And so, and so with all of that to say, is like, one of the thing that I do not tout or push is I'm not going to be the person who talks to you about weight loss, because that's a byproduct of the work that we do to make you healthy from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an aesthetics thing.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like over here, like preach. It's so good. And I think like you talked about before, it's just a matter of, especially with women and moms, like getting the knowledge that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. like, have you found as you've grown your business, and I know a little bit about it, but you can tell the people, like, have you found like barriers to figuring out how to like get this information in front of women so that they're actually listening? Have you been able to overcome those barriers? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so the biggest barrier is that there's a lot of noise right now in like the social media world, and social media is one of the main avenues that a lot of us get our information into the masses, you know, out to the masses.
Right.
And so it's hard when you're a person like me who has like genuine knowledge that's backed up by like biology, you know, like how the body actually processes food and works, like a legitimate thing. It's hard.
Right, like it's science.
Yeah, it's science, really? You know, come on, let's argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's hard when a person like me has to compete with the person who, the other like trainer or health coach who will do like
booty shots on Instagram. Like, you know, good health can't compete with a juicy butt. You're like, let's be honest about it.
That's going to be like the quote of the episode.
Oh, gosh.
Gut health can't compete with a juicy butt.
It really can't. And so I'm always like this, that uphill battle of trash information being taken as truth over someone who actually does know what they're talking about. Not saying that that person who's got their butt pictures up there doesn't, but why are you leading with that?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know? And then, like, another issue is when someone has become internet famous or Instagram famous, mm-hmm. and they follow an unhealthy eating practice for you. So, you know, say if the person that you're following is vegan, but vegan's not going to serve you, but she, because she does it, like, it has to be healthy. No, you're basing your health on a person that you don't even know their middle name.
Right. And that's like, that's so good. Like, let's tap into that more. So the fact that, like, because my podcast focuses a lot on finding your own voice, which has a lot to do with, like, really listening to yourself and bringing that to the surface and figuring out what works for you, being honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's been your journey, maybe personally and also in your business, with finding your own voice? And how has that really?
Oh, your baby.
Yeah, he woke up. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
At least he's not going to be hungry, because he definitely ate halfway through that nap.
Nice.
So finding my own voice. Well, to be honest about it, for the longest time, I thought I didn't have a voice. You know, mm-hmm. nobody wants to listen to Jasmine. I'm a nobody. And then after I realized that's not true, because some people were starting to pay attention to what I had to say, I then realized that I was afraid of using my voice.
Mm.
It's like, but what if everybody starts to pay attention? And then I have to be like on top of everything. And then I start to deal with people secretly probably deal with, and it's that whole imposter syndrome.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't know enough to lead anyone into better health, or I can't convince them to change a habit they've had for a decade. Like, you start to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And gut health is a very complex subject that right now, mainly only gastroenterologists and other doctors, like doctors that I like Dr. Hyman, Mark Hyman, and Dr. Will Cole, they're great, but they're like the only people talking about gut health, and everyday people miss out because they talk in science terms, and they talk so far above you that the person like me, who is maybe a step or two further down the line, like, I feel intimidated to talk about something so complex, because what if I misinform?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking about the fact that I'm just bringing a subject that nobody's talking about, like nobody's really paying attention to. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to help them drag the truck out of the mud, so to speak, and, you know, bring to light the subject that everybody needs to pay more attention to gut health. Why? Because it is like the mothership way that we can fix a lot of the issues we deal with mentally, physically, emotionally, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even like in you just talking about that, Jazz, like it's, you can hear the passion in your voice, and it makes me excited about it. And like, that's the inherent like power in your voice, because you kind of talked about it a little bit, but the fact that these scientists are talking about these things, but on a complex level, like you could be talking about the same thing as the person next to you, but because your voice is your voice, like nobody's going to bring that to the conversation the way that you do. So like, the people that need to hear it from you are going to start hearing it.
Yeah. Thanks for encouraging me on that.
You're so welcome. It's true. I mean, and part of my voice is like empowering other women to find theirs. So
yeah, well,
there we go.
For sure. You all just like, you know, side note, you've always been very, very helpful for me in that, because you know, being a verbal processor, sometimes the walls can't feed back all the information I need to know as solo entrepreneur. They just don't do it.
Right. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. That's so sweet. I'm really glad that I've been helpful. I just like, I mean, that's what lights me up, but it's so true. Like that whole like imposter syndrome is a real thing. I think it's been helpful for me to learn that it's a thing for literally everyone. Yeah. Yeah. Like, even these influencers who we talk about, who we like put on this pedestal, which they're amazing human beings. But like, mm-hmm. I have a friend who sells thousands of dollars worth of artwork on a monthly basis, and she still struggles with imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Isn't it ridiculous? It's so crazy. So,
right.
Yeah. So this is the thing that I've learned. Okay, here we go.
Okay, I'm ready.
it's something. Okay, so in my Netflix binging during my time at home with the baby, mm-hmm. Got on to this show called White Collar.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of you who don't know Neil Caffrey and White Collar, he is a bona fide top of the line con artist. One of the things he does very well is be an imposter. Mm-hmm. He could be anyone, you know, or he could just have a million aliases. But anyway, what I've learned from watching this show indirectly is that if you're going to be an imposter, be a really dang good one. You know, still change lives when you're impostering, okay?
Well, it's so funny because I think there was some post on Facebook about that, and one of the comments, like, I think it was in Think Creative Collective, actually, which is, like, one of the best corners on the internet. Shout out to Abby and Emily. But, like, there was one of the ladies in there was commenting about imposter syndrome, and she said something to the effect of, like, the thing about imposter syndrome is that you just have to be a better faker than the other fakers until, like, your fakery is just like
hey, so your fakery is legit.
More legit fakery, because, like, we all feel that way. And then it's interesting talking about, like, inner voice and self-talk and that, because mm-hmm. like it's so easy for us to, like, encourage other people, like, and it's the same mm-hmm. for me. I can be like, hey, Jasmine, you're freaking amazing, and, like, you're doing all these things. And then when it comes to my own stuff, I'm like, meh, I'm okay.
No, but this is me every single Friday, because I'm like, this is me every Friday, because I'm like, what did I do this week? Oh, you sat there and analyzed your way out of making a Facebook Live or going on YouTube and put your face on there. And it's because this is another thing. You get so close to your work that you think you have nothing of value to give to someone else.
Yes.
And so because this, like, everybody knows that you're brainy, you gotta connect. I don't need to repeat that. And mm-hmm. it's like, you were like, no, I didn't know that. Mm-mm.
No, right, exactly. And I think it takes, and you're speaking to, like, a whole thing that's been, I mean, every single interview I've done so far in this podcast series, every single woman has talked about in some way, shape or form, that culture and that mindset of never enough. Like, mm-hmm. that we're never enough and we don't have enough to bring to the table. And all of the things I did today were not enough, where, like, anyone else who's watching or even not watching, like, when you were about to say that thing, I was like, well, you took care of a human being, first of all. You kept Eli alive and are raising society. So that's pretty fucking great.
This is pretty true. You know, like, my husband belovingly calls me the milk truck. Because so whenever Eli starts a scream fest, because at nighttime he doesn't like anyone other than mama to put him to sleep, I'll be in the shower, I'm having my 10 minutes of solace, and he'll be like, so of course my husband is Hispanic, so you'll hear him in Spanish speaking, oh, calm down, mommy, the milk truck's coming back soon. Oh, calm down, the milk truck's coming, see, I hear it, you hear it pulling up outside. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
And it's and so hard as a mom, because you start feeling like that's all that you're worth is, like,
thankfully I will put it out there and say that that's not how I've been feeling. So I will,
good,
there, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, now he wants to be in on this conversation.
He yeah he does for sure
phase right now.
That's
and
great,
yelling
though.
At me, so
he's finding his voice too. Yeah,
exactly. So thankfully motherhood has been not hard, parenting in general has not been hard for us. I don't know if it's because he's a good sleeper and he doesn't, like, have colic or anything.
But, and that's huge. And yeah. Also, like, let's talk about support system for a second, because
this is
it
true.
Seems like your husband is a really good support for you.
He is a front and center papa. That is very true. He is, like, one of the jokes that used to go around the gym when I was pregnant is, like, don't look there when she's giving birth. It's like watching your favorite club burn down. That's what people tell him. Yet my husband literally was like, signed up to catch Eli when he came out. He told the midwife, he was like, I want to be there. I want to catch. You gonna let me catch?
Heck yes.
And so I don't want to, like, can I tell a small piece of my birth story?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go for it. Like, so, that's one of my favorite things to talk about. And we're talking to women and for women. So, yes.
So, we decided to go the natural birth route, no drugs. And I went and had my baby at a birth center instead of having him at a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Long story there, I won't go down that road, but long story short, it was the best experience imaginable. They take care of you like you're like prime rib up in there. So like I went to labor at like eight o'clock on a Monday, and literally within, you know, 2 hours I was ready to give birth. It was like, let's go, let's do this.
Girl,
it was fast, it was a little intense. And so when I'm like, I had hit transition. My body's like, I have to push. My body's telling me I'm having to push. And my husband was like, okay, I'm here with, you know, with the midwife. And he's standing there. He said he looks down. He sees nothing to notice. And then by the time he stands back up, all of a sudden he feels this whoosh, and on his leg. And basically, it's like I pushed and shot out my water sack at him.
Oh my god.
Right? And so it was like, and the midwife said, that's completely normal. All right, we're getting ready for a hit. So basically Eli was like, hey, I'm coming out, take my water sack, and threw it.
Oh my gosh.
And so I pushed 6 times. 2 of them were effortless. I was just roaring. I wasn't pushing. And the last 4, like literally on the last one, I pushed him all the way out. He flew past my husband's hands, flew past the midwife's hand, and somersaulted onto the bed. And if you guys flip through an Instagram, I think I have them on my Instagram. I have bloodshot eyes because I burst my capillaries in my eyes. Didn't feel a thing with that, but burst the capillaries in my eyes because in my head, talking about self-coaching and self-talk, that last push in my mind, I was under the squat rack of a 250-pound bar. And I was in the bottom of the squat and I was thinking to myself, all right, Jazz, brace and stand it up. That's all that literally be the beast that you are, brace and stand that 250-pound bar up.
Oh, that needs to be like a written down affirmation. Brace and stand it up.
Yeah.
Just and do it.
Literally. And so, you know, I had to channel that. And when I stood it up, there he came flying. So in my mind, I was like, I am not wasting any energy on a negative push. I'm not shooting blanks here. We are not doing that.
Not shooting blanks. Oh my gosh. I love you so much. That's amazing. I love that. And it's a testament to you because that sounds just like, I mean, I love that affirmation, like brace and stand it up. It's so good. And like, oh, I love that you shared that because actually that's something that I'm, some people are like not cool with sharing personal stories like that. Oh. And some, which I was like excited to hear personal stories from you, obviously. And like, but it's good because it's like that whole thing of like everybody's experience is different, mm-hmm. but it's all about like believing yourself, bracing and pushing.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
That is life in a nutshell.
Yep.
And literally from that beauty of life in a nutshell came a 6 pound, 13 ounce baby who was perfectly fine in every way. He was completely fine. And yeah. He slept like a champ that night.
That's amazing.
And so, because like mama was knocked out. Now, I will say life will, you know, you will get a couple of nicks and scrapes when you brace and stand it up. I had a little bit of tearing that took 2 stitches, but hey, when I got checked out my last, like, you know, postnatal visit, they were like, it doesn't even look like you had a baby. So
nice.
There's something you said about that too.
I mean, that's the whole, I can't even remember what it's called, but I love that whole like thing in Japan of like when pottery breaks or cracks, they just fill it with gold to show off the crack and the break and the tear. And like, you're not going to get through life unscathed, but like, your turbulence is your power and like your breaking points are your power. And that's what like that vulnerability with that stuff is what's going to empower other people too. So we're like coming back full circle to like letting your voice be heard.
For sure. Let it go, girl. I'm like learning. So like life is really teaching me right now that the flaws is where the character is built. And when we have issues, absolutely, is where we grow. Mm-hmm. And you just need to be down with it. You know, you're not going to be perfect. We're imperfect beings. So why do you expect anything that you produce or do to be perfect? Not just the first time around, the last time around, but ever. Imperfection mm-hmm. is what makes you human and makes you relatable.
Hell yes. I'm nodding my head so hard. I'm like doing a dance party over here. I was just like, yes, girl.
Yeah. And so like, that's why one of my favorite companies or woman-owned businesses to follow is BirthFit, because they're all about, hey, like, your body has done something amazing. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of your stripes. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you feel weak. Don't be ashamed of the fact that, you know, things aren't what your old self is, because you're not your old self anymore. Girl, you brought a baby into this world. You birthed a human.
Yes.
Why isn't that taking over your brain cells of all that you are?
And that's like so good, especially with like the metaphor to everything else in life, because especially even for like women who haven't had babies but maybe have like left a toxic relationship or started a business or whatever, like all of the times that you were crying in your car, like those are your most powerful moments to share, actually, because it's like, that's you being beastly and like being a human being and pushing through and bracing and standing.
Yep.
I love it. I'm literally going to make a print. I feel like I should make, I'm like having an idea of making a print of all of these quotes that come from these interviews. And that is a really good one.
Okay. I definitely want to have one of those prints then. And I'm going to put it probably in my office and in my son's room.
Yes. You'll be the first one to get it. Brace and stand it up. Jasmine Cabrera.
There you go.
I love it so much. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up, and we should definitely, I feel like we should do a follow-up because, we could just talk for hours, but I usually ask my guests like a couple of silly questions at the end just to, end it with some fun. And not that we haven't been having fun this entire time, let's be honest.
Yeah. Shoot.
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever done besides childbirth at this point?
Well, that's not weird. That's just natural. Right. The weirdest thing that I've ever done goes back probably, I don't know. Let's think. Think. All right. The one that comes to mind, the fact that, I mean, this was definitely my alma mater tradition, so I'm not that weird, but I streaked a lawn when I was 22. And I can't tell you how long it is, but if you Google University of Virginia Rotunda to Cabell Hall, it'll tell you how many feet there is or how many yards. There's three terraces that if you aren't careful, you'll eat grass because you tripped.
Did you eat grass or did you make it through?
I'm an athlete. Don't play. I'm an athlete. I didn't even eat liquid courage and it was
you
dark.
Did like hurdles. So you weren't even drunk. You were just streaking.
No, I didn't
doing hurdles over those terraces.
No, it's more like, all right, so also I am very well endowed on the front side of my body, aka I have a chest. And so the biggest thing was just like, don't feel like your chest is going to pop you in the face or rip off from bouncing.
Big boob problems. I don't have them, but lots of friends do. So
if I can of worms of people who have big boobs, it's like we exist. And we're trying to tell you guys who don't have big boobs, be happy. There is nothing to brag about having a big chest. There's so many prearrangements you have to make for these jokers, like sleeping and buying clothes. And
all kinds of stuff. Right. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like along the same vein as like everyone's always like, oh my gosh, your legs are so long. Like, that's amazing. And I would love to have long legs like yours. And I'm like, not if you're going jean shopping, you wouldn't.
Nope.
Like,
and not if you want to sit in a small car. So you can't buy small cars now, so you can't save your money.
No, right. Exactly. Like, it has to be a large vehicle because I need my leg room. I mean, is fine, but that's good. And you know what's interesting? Whenever I've asked about this weirdest thing question, you are like the third, at least, woman who has talked about streaking in some way, shape, or form. So you are not alone there, actually.
Oh, gosh.
I feel like I'm doing, like, I'm taking a poll and finding lots of interesting trends that I didn't think I was going to run into.
Let's not highlight that one in the highlight reel, okay?
It's fine.
Oh, gosh.
We'll just leave it as an Easter egg. It's like whoever was brave enough to make it to the end of this episode is going to hear that story, and you're welcome.
All right.
All right. And then the last question I have for you is, what is your favorite song right now? What does jazz like to jam to?
See, this is the thing. I have no cultural, like, boundaries when it comes to music. I like almost everything. But believe it or not, the two that stand out in my head right now is one that's getting older. It's a Tim McGraw song called Humble and Kind, because I have a kid, so I just sing it to him. I love that song. And all right, we're just gonna leave with that one.
Leave with that one.
Yeah, okay. unless we're gonna pull out, like, I like Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton.
I did not know that you were such a country music fan.
I grew up in Virginia.
I mean, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, this is true. And so it's either that or, like, Motown Soul or, like, Bachata, because my husband's Dominican. And so we listen to a lot of Romeo Santos, a lot of Prince Royce.
Okay. Right. So, I forgot. Yeah, your husband's Dominican, so that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Like, every day, Eli's morning nap, it gets jammed. We dance every day because that is a big deal, you know.
That's amazing.
And every day, Bachata every morning, he's like, okay, mommy, when you do the little hip swing thing, I am down for sleep. So
that's amazing. I mean, and what a good story for when he grows up. You're like, yep, the only thing that would put you down for a nap is some bachata music.
Basically. This has been awesome, though.
Seriously, thank you so much for coming on, Jasmine. No, I love you.
No problem.
All right. Well, have a good rest of your day, and we will talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wasn't that conversation so good, you guys? If you're enjoying this Rad as Fuck Women series as much as I am, please check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/darlingragenation. There I have set up 3 different levels of membership for you guys, starting at just $5 a month, where you can get exclusive bonus content, live interviews, free prints from me, and even a chance to be on the show yourself. So check out the Patreon page. Again, that's patreon.com/darlingragenation. I would love to welcome you in to the Rad Darling Rage Insiders tribe. Until then, rage on, darlings. Have a fantastic day.